Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for December the 9th. I'm Julia Slater in Bern.
Der FC Basel schafft die ganz, ganz große Sensation!
That sensation was the victory by Minnows, if I'm allowed to call them that, FC Basel, against one of the world's leading football teams, Manchester United, in the Champions League on December the 7th, which took the Swiss team through to the knockout rounds. The fans were left reeling, but pretty pleased.
It's absolutely crazy, unimaginable. I wouldn't have believed it in my wildest dreams.
Super, of course, it's what we expected. Haha. No, really, it's just sensational.
We've kicked out Manchester. Last year they were in the finals. So now anything is possible.
Well, Basel's victory was a football sensation, but there could be a political sensation next week when Parliament elects the 7 members of the government. The Swiss system is unique in the world, and it would take most of the programme to explain it, but you can read about it on our website, www.swissinfo.ch. The right-wing People's Party, the biggest in Parliament, wants a second seat and is gunning for the popular Minister of Finance, Evelyn Widmer-Schlumpf, who's a member of the small Conservative Democratic Party. But there's already been something of a sensation in the run-up. Bruno Zuppiger, one of the 2 candidates put forward by the People's Party to battle for a seat, and the one regarded as having the greatest chance of success, withdrew on December the 8th after a scandal came to light in the weekly Weltwoche magazine. But while the suspense over the cabinet builds up, members of Parliament are having to settle down to their regular business as well. We'll hear in a moment what it's like to be there for the first time. For most people, of course, the main excitement of December is that it's a month of festivals. Not just Christmas. December the 6th is the feast day of St. Nicholas, a saint who appears in different guises depending on what part of Switzerland you visit. That's the very characteristic sound of an unusual St. Nicholas custom in central Switzerland. We'll come back to him later. Very different, but even more Swiss, the national anthem, as sung at the opening of the winter session of Parliament on December the 5th. It's the first session since October's elections, so a lot of the members, 76 in fact, are new and having to find their feet. The same applies to Swiss Info's Sophie Douay, a seasoned parliamentary reporter back in Australia, but who's covering the session in Bern for the first time. I asked her what the atmosphere was like.
Well, it's obviously pretty busy. There are a lot of new faces. I don't know a lot of them. And there's some things like announcements from the Speaker of the House saying, OK, and those who need to have their photos taken, off you go. It's a bit like the class photos at the beginning of the year. And obviously with the cabinet election coming up, there is a lot of talk. When you sit in on the House and you see the whole chamber of what's going on, you see little pockets of players and people sort of chatting, and there's a lot of strategy talk going on. Lots of parties have been, you know, meeting to interview candidates for the election, and then they're holding a, you know, press conference in little corners of the parliament to, you know, announce their positions of who they will vote for the new cabinet. So there's a lot going on, and it's quite a fun time to be around.
And do you get the impression that some of the new people are a bit nervous, or does everybody strike you as being really on top of things and acting as if they've been there for years and years?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do anyway. I think, you know, obviously there is a bit of nervousness, but don't forget a lot of these people that have been elected are seasoned business people or seasoned unionists or seasoned health professionals, and this is still a part-time job for them. So it's not so much a question of nervousness as perhaps excitement more, in that it is an interesting time to be around.
But there's a difference in being a professional person and being a member of a parliament.
Yes, there is. Yeah, I mean, it is all obviously very new. You do have to, certainly from my point of view, trying to figure out where to go and not going up the wrong set of stairs and ending yourself up in the visitor's entrance. But this is Switzerland and everybody is very well catered for. So there are people around in sort of green uniforms around the parliament able to tell you where to go or what to do, or if you want to speak to somebody, they can bring them out of the chamber. So it's, it is, a little intimidating, but it's certainly not a massive building. You can't get too lost, I don't think.
How does it compare with the Australian parliament that I think you've covered in the past?
Well, the building itself is much smaller. It's quite similar in that you have a Senate and a House of Representatives. Things like the other day you were walking past and there was the Environment Minister sort of sitting at a table in a hall, working on a laptop with her colleagues sort of just there. You would never see that in the Australian Parliament, where the ministers have their own ministerial wing and, journalists, while working in the building, still don't have access to that sort of thing. So it does feel like people are very much more accessible than perhaps in a bigger parliament.
You're listening to Swiss Info.
Santa Claus, Gau, du seh ich schaut und du bist ja auch schon alt. Lenu wiese deine Haar, trotzdem kommst du jedes Jahr.
5-year-old Kira, welcoming Santa Claus, as he's called in the German-speaking part of Canton Fribourg, when he came to her primary school. Although it's cold out there and you are old, you come every year and bring a sack of goodies, the poem goes. The tradition is similar in many parts of Switzerland. A St. Nicholas figure, usually called Sammy Klaus, travels around with his helper Schmutzli, visiting children and handing out nuts, fruit and chocolate. It's an old tradition, and very popular one would think. But some Roman Catholics in the northern canton of Aargau recently convened a synod of St. Nicholas's because they have some concerns about its future, not least because Christmas is becoming increasingly commercialised. Swiss Info's Isabel Leibel-Johnson spoke to some of the participants and told me about the main differences between St. Nicholas, or Sammy Klaus, and Father Christmas, or Santa Claus.
The Swiss St. Nicholas dispenses his gifts of chocolate, fruit and nuts on December the 6th, and he's based on a real person or a historical figure, a 4th century bishop, which is why he's often dressed as a bishop. So he has a mitre, he has a staff, and he doesn't always wear red, but he does have a white beard. Now, we all know about Father Christmas, who delivers his presents on the 24th, a kind of jovial old man. But the synod organisers said basically he was a 19th century marketing idea from the United States.
And what about the presents that he brings? I mean, it's well known that in many countries people write to Father Christmas at the North Pole. That sounds as if it's not anything to do with St. Nicholas at all.
No. Normally St. Nicholas visits children, and the children actually have to do something, so they have to recite a poem or sing a song, and then St. Nicholas reads them a story, which always has a bit of a moral to it, reminding children that they should be on their best behaviour. And he also has a sidekick, Schmutzli, who was once rather a kind of dark and scary figure, but he's now a little bit more benign. So, yes, it's rather different to leaving out a mince pie and a glass of port for Father Christmas on the 24th, or writing a letter to say what presents you'd like.
As you heard, little Kira did indeed learn a poem to recite to Santa Claus, so she fulfilled her part of the bargain as far as that was concerned. But she and her twin sister Maeve didn't perhaps pay quite as much attention as they might have when he suggested ways they could improve their behaviour, such as...
I don't remember... We have to listen to her a little bit more. But I don't think that's so bad.
Their recall was a little bit better when it came to praising them.
I was also nice to my little sister, Ashley. And I helped set the table. And you want now the good things. When we tidy up, we do it very well, and we don't have so much fights. We do good pictures. The other thing I think I forgot.
Well, while Kira, Maeve and their friends were welcoming Santa Claus in Canton Fribourg, St. Nicholas was taking part in a rather different custom in Küsnacht am Rigi on Lake Lucerne. Would you say that was music for a chase? and yet it's the sound of Küssnacht's Klausjagen custom, which literally means chasing St. Nicholas. Sounds pretty intriguing. Swiss Info's Susan Vogel-Masika went to investigate, and I asked her if it really was a chase.
No, it's not a chase. It's more of a procession, really. And it's got different elements and an all-male cast. We've got these whip crackers who kick it off. And then we've got these men carrying bishop's mitres. They're anywhere from half a metre to 2 metres tall. And they look like stained glass windows. And what illuminates them is candles inside. And it's just amazing to watch because all the lights have been turned down in the town. And you just see these windows, it looks like windows or mitres coming down the road.
Does somebody have to make these mitres?
Oh, yes, they're handmade, and some of them are really old. They've got wooden frames somehow, but they're covered in coloured paper or what looks like cellophane. I had the chance to peer into one, and there are candles inside, and I asked the man where it came from exactly.
Meine Frau hat das gemacht für mich.
My wife made it for me. It took her 400 or 500 hours. It's not particularly heavy, 7 or 8 kilos.
7 kilo, 8 kilo.
You said these mitres, or infuln, I think they're called.
Yeah, infuln or ifulin is the other name.
You said those weren't the only things in the parade, so what else is there?
Well, there are also these enormous cowbells called trikle. And what it is the men carry them in front of their bodies, sort of low, and they swing them from left to right as they're walking. And they make a couple of different kinds of sounds, and I got a young man to explain the difference.
There are actually two different kinds of trikle. That is a klopfe. Klopfe is more heavy and more deep, and the sand is more kind of...
This one. And klopfe is this one.
But it's not just teenagers, it's also men who are considerably older, even retired people.
With a bit of a break, I must have been doing it for 20 or 30 or 40 years. It's something really special.
It sounds absolutely killing.
Well, that guy assured me that it wasn't a problem for him. He said he did a lot of fitness and that was enough to be fit for this every year. Now, the other bit of exercise in this procession is the whip cracking. It's really loud, but the equipment is very basic. It's just a stick with some rope on the end, sort of a long braided jute rope. And this is something that children can do. You don't have to be an adult. It's mainly boys, and I asked a father of one of them why this is.
Because it's not so easy. If you make 2 minutes, you are tired.
So you need a lot of muscles.
A little bit, a little bit.
And is this something you did also when you were a boy?
Yes, yes.
And today too, or is it just for teenage boys?
A little bit with the boys.
Does your family always come to the Klausjagen?
Only we go. Mama stay at home.
So basically, it's like a guy's night out. I mean, as I was there in the middle of a square with a bunch of the bell ringers, it occurred to me this is like a giant stag night with hundreds of men. And it was an odd, eerie feeling. But, of course, a lot of women are in the background helping, like I said, to make the mitres and probably some of the other costumes. And, of course, they come to watch. I was speaking with a woman from New Zealand who says she wouldn't want to miss it.
We love it. We come every year to it. It's crazy.
And what's your favourite part?
I love the mitres. The mitres are pretty spectacular, but the bells, just for their absolutely mesmerising quality, I think they're great. Superb.
I was speaking there to Susan Vogel-Masika about the Klausjagen custom of Küssnacht am Rigi. And if you're intrigued by the whip custom, check out our website, swissinfo.ch, and watch the audio slideshow. And that's also where you can always keep up to date with what's going on in Switzerland. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week. I'm Julia Slater in Bern.